What's up, guys? We are back, your High Street Freaks. I am here with Ryan, and it's still basketball season. You know, the Buckeyes survived and advanced, and we are still allowed to talk about round balls. And that's what we're going to do for a little bit to start. I am, I did not really expect Ohio State to win like as convincingly against Rutgers. I was just like hoping for like a 3-point win or something like that, with how bad they've been on the road. It is wild. It's like jarring. It felt like a pipe dream when they first beat Purdue, just like being like, oh, maybe this team can make the tournament. But like watching them play the past two games, especially, I know it was Rutgers and Michigan, like the two worst teams in the Big Ten, but like this feels like a tournament team. They deserve to be in, and it is like garbage that Chris Holtmann sandbagged them so much that they even have to fight to get in at this point. Like you go back and look at some of the games. I don't know. I'm mad at Chris Holtmann more than anything. How are you feeling about the basketball team?
Yeah, I'm having fun with it. It's nice. Like this is probably the first time in the last like 2 years I've actually watched a couple of their games in a row. I'm like paying attention to the team. Like I'm actually thinking about it now. And that's because Holtmann just sapped so much. Like it was just such a known quantity, right? Like you just knew he was going to fuck it up. It was the same way. I had that tweet about in 2022 of like watching how Chris Holtmann seasons unfold. And it happened 3 years in a row. They do it every year. Yeah. It's you can just predict how Holtmann does this shit. And also especially how his like late game offense would shut down. It was just so predictable and easy to see coming that it's like exciting. Like, I don't know if Ohio State's actually going to make the tournament or not. Like, they got a shot at it for sure.
Real
like,
good
it's
shot.
It's a big lift. I mean, yeah, it's a big lift, right? Like, Iowa's a good basketball team. You got to beat them first and then face, like, a top 15 team in the country and beat them to probably to get in. That's not easy. But like,
and they deserve it if they did.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And, you know, but it's, like, fun to have some skin in the game and to root for teams around you to fail and to watch these teams, like, fall off. That's great. Yeah. I mean, that.
I think the most infuriating thing to me, like I mentioned, was just going back and looking at the Big Ten games from earlier this year and realizing like if they had bad losses against Indiana, Iowa, Penn State, and Michigan, like all of those games were very winnable. I mean, Michigan maybe was the least winnable of any of those games, but it's Michigan. There's not a chance. Like I don't care if it was a road game. They shouldn't have lost to Michigan on the road.
Sure.
If they win any one of those four games, it's not really even a conversation. Like they're probably in the tournament pretty comfortably. Like they might have to win one game in the Big Ten tournament, like to solidify it. Like, but because they completely shit the bed all of January, through February too, it is a horrible position. Like the fact that they blew, I think it was Penn State. They were up like 15 points with like 10 minutes left and they somehow lost that game. It is just mind-numbingly bad. They shouldn't even be in this position. They're playing way too good. They are way too talented. This is a tournament team, and the fact that they even have to battle in is horrific at this point.
Yeah, it is. We're going to talk a little bit about that, like I think towards the end of this podcast. We're going to get more into like what that looks like. You and I are going to also talk about spring practice, particularly some of the quarterback stuff, talk about Denzel Burke a little bit, some Jeremiah Smith hype. And also just Ohio State's upcoming game against Iowa, which I think we're looking forward to. It's kind of the first step to these dominoes. Before we do that, Kevin, we're going to tell good people about meetatmidfield.com, our website. It's where you and I write. It's where we have our premium message board. It's where you can hear premium episodes of this podcast, including one that'll be available to you at the same time. Listen to this. So if you like this free podcast, you're not subscribed and you want to hear the premium half, you can subscribe at meetatmidfield.com and get started at any point in time. That's our website. We always want people to join. It's the best time of year to do it. I'm unveiling, I did a massive project that Patrick helped a little bit with, that I took like a look at basically the top 70 returning quarterbacks in college football and provided data on each of them and ranked them. I'm doing write-ups and all that. We have conference previews not too far away after spring ball is done. We are getting into the meat of all this stuff now. It's that kind of time of year. So come subscribe, come boogie with us. And if you also want to help out the site, you can buy Home Field Apparel, which is our sponsor. Kevin, did you see those new shooting shirts and jerseys they have?
Oh, they're awesome. I could not believe that. I could not believe that. It was awesome.
Yeah, they are. They're really cooking. It's been pretty incredible to see what they're doing with that. I saw some of the Michigan State stuff, the Indiana State, the Lady Vols. They have like LSU and Missouri, and hopefully an Ohio State version of that coming in the not too distant future. But the gear they are pumping out is unreal to watch. And if you have not bought some, if it's your first order, you can get 15% off that with the code Meet at Midfield. We highly recommend it. It's the best. We wear it all the time. You got hats, shirts, jerseys now, joggers, sweatshirts. Goddamn, dude, everything. You know, girdles, garters, chastity belts, all kinds of gear from home field. So use that code Meet at Midfield to buy some. All right, Kevin, where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about spring ball? You want to talk about the basketball team first? What do you want to get into?
Let's talk Devin Brown and just the quarterbacks okay. In general. I think that's, I don't know. It is definitely like a buzzing topic. Maybe not so much on our board, because our board is not necessarily people who believe spring quarterback hype by any means. But just generally speaking, it seems to be talked about a bunch. Do we believe at all that Devin Brown has any chance of being Ohio State's quarterback?
No, I really don't. Here's what I'll say. I really started out by making fun of these people a lot. There was like one of those aggregator accounts that I fucking hate all of them. There's like on Elon's Twitter with the like invention of the purchase blue check. Yeah. There are now like 30 accounts called like Buckeye News and Info, like Buckeye Scoops. That was actually already one, but you get the idea. There was a lot of those, and they just all like aggregate like message board posts, pretend it's like breaking news or whatever. But one of these guys,
and they always say report. Or like sources or something like that.
It pisses me off.
Yeah.
It's worse in the NFL, I know, but it's just like, it is really fucking annoying.
Just an aside, I think the NFL though, like people at least understand that it's a rumor. And like there's a lot of people that are like, oh, like this may or may not happen. Interesting to hear this. Whereas like the number of people that think this is like people reporting news or like actual outlets reporting news is wild. Anyway, continue.
And it's probably because of the inherently like amateurish nature of college football reporting.
Yeah.
Like you have all these like provincial little like Homer sites that are telling you about like whatever rumor there is about a guy being seen like, you know, in street clothes on the sideline with his girlfriend or something, or like, academic. There's like so much hearsay because there's so little access to players. It's way different from the NFL that everything happens in secret. So it leads to this like insider complex in the first place, which then these idiots exploit more.
Right.
Anyway, one of these guys posted about like, man, after everything we've seen so far this spring from Devin Brown, like it's hard for me to think he's not going to come in there and take this job. And it was like after literally the first day of spring ball, where I think media even got to see the quarterbacks throw for like 4 or 5 minutes. There was maybe,
and it was like swing passes to running backs. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, it's just so absurd. The one compelling point that has been made, our buddy Bill Landis made a point on his podcast that I will give him credit for here. It feels like we saw a lot of Devin Brown last year, but he only threw 28 passes. I'm willing to, and it was, a lot of it wasn't in flow. It was like that sham quarterback competition that day botched. I'm willing to acknowledge the idea that we actually don't have an accurate ruling yet on Devin Brown. But despite that, you don't bring in Will Howard as a transfer with the idea that he could possibly lose the battle. He did not pick Ohio State over USC or like the other 10 schools that wanted him without being guaranteed the starting job.
Yeah.
Phil Howard's not awesome, but he's a top 15 quarterback in college
football. Right. Yeah. I also think like the amount of better that Devin Brown would have to be to unseat Will Howard is way too high. Like way too high. It's not that it's completely out of the question, because I think if it got to the point where it's like, well, you know, like Devin Brown might win the Heisman, we can't like not play him. Like, sorry, like this sucks, but like if it is even close to equal, it's going to be Will Howard for the reasons that you mentioned. And so I think it's just like way too high of a mountain to climb. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why he's still here. It doesn't really make sense to me. It's all of the comments that he's making about, like, people don't know anything if they think he's going to transfer after the spring. Like, it is just, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. I guess the one thing for him is hypothetically, if Will Howard wins the job this year, Devin Brown could still be the starter next year, like in 2025 or whatever.
And I would see that. And like, maybe he looks at, hey, they're going to run Will Howard. Maybe he gets hurt. Maybe I'll stick around.
Right. Yeah.
That's an awfully big risk for him to take, though, right? Like, is that...
Yeah.
Is that wise? I don't know. I mean, he played in... He used a year of eligibility last year. He redshirted in 22, right? So he's going to be a redshirt sophomore this year. So if he sticks around, he has 2 years to play two after this.
Yeah.
But also, you like the guy I think of or compare this to is like Ty Thompson at Oregon.
Yeah.
Ty Thompson was a higher rated recruit than Devin Brown is. He was a fifth year guy, but he lost the quarterback battle at first. And then he decided to stick around and sit behind Bo Nix for another year.
Yep.
And like Ty Thompson was a former five-star recruit, probably could have gotten a lot of places and got a job after that second year. After the third year, he transferred to Tulane. And Tulane's not a bad program. I'm not. Tulane's one of the best G5 programs in the country, but it's not a Power 5 football program.
Right.
He went from being a five-star quarterback who was like the next big thing in Oregon to going to play at Tulane. And it's like, I'm sure Devin Brown can lose his quarterback battle and still get a job somewhere else, like after his redshirt sophomore year. But your prospects, if you lose a second battle, diminish.
It's not great. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, well, the trend line, there was like a buck of that trend last year where both, I believe I posted it on our board a while back, but like if you look at the history of top 100 quarterback recruits in recent history, almost none of them stuck around to be a backup player for a third season. Then two of them did it last year. It was Ty Thompson and Brock Vandegrift both did it at Oregon and Georgia, respectively. And then they both transferred after year three. And those are like the first two quarterback recruits that are top 100, former top 100 recruits in the last like 7 years to do that. And then both of them transferred a year later. So what did they gain from that? It doesn't make sense to me, the idea of him staying.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I don't know. I guess
maybe.
it obviously doesn't make sense. I think that's like, it's very clear. That's very clear to the average person, even like that's not lost on anybody that it doesn't make sense that he's still here. I can't explain it because it doesn't make sense. His brain, like he must just think that he's going to win the competition or like the quarterback competition. I don't know. Like maybe he's just really that competitive. Maybe he's just dead set on not running and sticking to his commitment. Like I don't know. I don't know him personally, probably never will, but like that's what he said. And he's been very firm about it. Like from the start, like it's bizarre, but I mean, go for it. I think the thing is though, I think Will Howard is a fine quarterback. I think he will be a fine quarterback. Like you said, probably a top 15 quarterback. I think he's an improvement on Kyle McCord. But I don't think he's going to be good. Like what concerns me is I don't think he's going to be good enough that he is going to silence every doubter at every moment next year. Mm-hmm. And so if you thought this past year, the people calling for Devin Brown to play over Kyle McCord this like last year, if you thought that was annoying, if Devin Brown sticks around and Will Howard struggles and like isn't like lighting the world on fire, it is going to be hell online and with people calling for a switch at the quarterback. More than that, last year you even had people calling for Lincoln Kienholz, who is a true freshman, like three-star quarterback. Now, this year...
I was doing that for fun, by the way. I want to clarify, me personally, I was just having fun online. Yeah.
Yeah, but there were people seriously that were like, that were seriously being like, no, we don't know what he can do. Like, he throw a link out there. He might be able to, I don't know.
But now with 2 5-stars?
Now with 2 5-stars, because that's the thing, is like, it was pretty easy to hand wave that away. It's like, no, man, like, come on. It's a 3-star like kid from, where is he from? Like South Dakota or something like that.
Yeah. 4-star, but yeah.
Yeah. Like it's not like, come on. It was never going to happen. But like I would even believe if Will Howard like was sucking and like you didn't really trust Devin Brown, I would have a hard time being like, you mean Julian Sane couldn't be better than this? You know, like, I'm probably going to say that, or at least think it like two or three times next year. So like, I don't know. I can just see this. Yeah. It's going to take a lot to manage this quarterback battle because you have a lot in this room. So I don't know. It seems insane to think that there's any possibility that all five of these guys are on the roster next year. Who do you think we're going to get into this? Who do you think transfers? Who's gone? One at least has to be gone.
I think it's only Brown is gone.
You think only Brown's gone?
It makes sense to like, you know, Will Howard only has 1 year. So like, well, I'll say this. If Brown doesn't leave, I think Kienholz does.
One of those two.
Or Ayer. I mean, is that crazy to say Ayer? I don't know. Maybe it's not that crazy. Julian Sanders did it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I think the smart money's on Brown, followed by Kienholz, followed by Ayer, followed by Howard. I basically think Julian Sane is the only quarterback who's not transfer.
100%. Yeah, I think that's fair. Because, I mean, I guess there is a world where Devin Brown, like, decidedly beats out Will Howard or, like, continues to, like, perform better in the spring.
Yeah.
And they're like, look, like, we're going to ride with Devin Brown, go to USC or something like that. You know, like, that world probably does exist.
Here's the thing. And it's true that we have not seen much of anything from Brown yet. What we have seen, I want to point out, he had 49 either dropbacks or design runs last season. Four of those 49 plays resulted in a fumble or an interception. Pia, that's a lot. if almost 8% or a little more than 8% of your plays are resulting in fumbles and interceptions,
it's not great. Play.
PFF gave him a 5.6% turnover-worthy play percentage.
Not cool.
His pressure to sack rate also, he was pressured 9 times on his 35 dropbacks, and 5 of them resulted in sacks. If more than, I charted those like 70 returning quarterbacks, and I think the worst pressure to sack rate was 35%. His is at 55. It's a very small sample size, but,
right,
but 35 was the worst. And there were only like 3 of those guys who were higher than 30 or higher than 27 or something like that. It's he's about twice as bad as the 4th worst returning starter in pressure to sack ratio.
That's not ideal. Context, that's not ideal.
I think
And I mean that's the sort of thing that's like, maybe he really improves. Maybe he didn't get a fair shot. Like I acknowledge that there's a lot that I don't know, but from what we've seen, man, I would be stunned if Will Howard was not Ohio State starter. I think, yeah, I don't know. From what I've seen, I think my prediction for the future is going to be Will Howard this year, probably Julian Sane the year after. I think that's where I'd go. Yeah,
I'm curious to watch it play out. I think Brown is gone. It's cool that he's staying to compete, right?
Yeah, like, no, I don't want to gloss over that because I do agree. Like, I think it says a lot about him. I think it's cool that he is actually sticking by his word and he does want to compete. I don't think it's quite the same thing, but like when Tate Martell came out and said all that, like, I'm not leaving, like I don't remember all the quotes, but they were hilarious. And then Justin Fields got on campus and he dipped immediately. It's obviously Will Howard is not Justin Fields. And I think Devin Brown is not Tate Martell. He's probably not going to play wide receiver at Miami. Probably not. Yeah.
I do like Devin Brown. Like, he seems like a good dude.
Definitely.
But I mean, you don't get to start Ohio State quarterback because you're a good dude or you say the right things.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have to play well. Yeah, we'll see about that. I'm not buying it. You want to talk about Denzel Burke and his comments?
I do. We have a good segue here because Denzel Burke is the realest player of like in recent memory from Ohio State. Just like the things that he says, the way that he interviews, just how honest he is with everything that he says. He was his comments from his press conference like this week were all hilarious. He is just a gem of an interview. God bless everybody who gets to interview him for the next year or whatever. But somebody asked him about Will Howard. And this was his quote. I don't know. It's been 2 days of practice. We have a lot more to go, but I'm going to keep it real. I want to see more. I know he has high potential, and I'm excited for him. We've got 13 more practices, so I guess we'll see. Like, somebody asked him, and he's just like, yeah, man, like, I need to see more from that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to keep it real. Like, it wasn't great. Like, that reading between the lines, it's just like, I don't know. I love it. I love that he's just not like – because obviously the canned approach is like, oh, we saw some stuff, like, we're excited, we're confident in him. And he's just like, nah, like, I need to see more. Like, it wasn't great, you know?
Maybe throw him ducks out there. Good on him for saying that. Yeah. I mean, right. It's good to hear a player be honest. He's also doing that with, like, his natty or bust comments, right? Which I'm sure you're going to read next. I'm probably preempting you. But, like, him talking about this season, like, it is natty or bust. And, like, obviously, if you think that, I agree that, like, look, if you're a guy who, I guess he never played with Justin Fields, but he did play with CJ Stroud for 2 years. Like, if that's the standard to you of, like, a natty winning quarterback, then yeah, 100% you need to see more. And, you know, I mentioned I was charting these quarterbacks. I can talk about Will Howard briefly. His biggest strength is just that he's not really bad at anything. Like, he's not awesome at really anything. Like, to be honest with you.
Yep.
He's very careful with the football, and he's an effective runner, but he's not, I think the only things he's in the top 10 for are, like, rushing touchdowns per game among quarterbacks and fumble rate. Like, he's, yeah, I guess total touchdowns per game. By and large, he's, like, in the middle ground of just about everything, which is its own strength, right? Not to be bad about anything. He's just not awful, but, like, being pretty good at everything is fine. And I guess you could argue if the roster is better around him, it'll work itself out. But yeah, like, I think that makes sense. But, you know, well, I don't think Will Howard's like a world beater. I think Will Howard's not going to cost you games, but he's probably not going to win many for you by himself either, if any.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of been my whole thing with, and that was basically my only complaint with them bringing in Will Howard, because I think he's undeniably better than Kyle McCord pretty across the board. But, like, how do you tailor your offense to somebody that doesn't have, like, a discernible, like, trait besides being like, tall, you know? Like, you can't build your offense around your quarterback being tall. Like, that's not a thing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
The jump pass.
Don't tell John Elway.
Right.
Brock Osweiler.
Right. But
remember that era? That was a different
time. Hilarious. But the comment from Denzel Burke, the best one was, that he declared the 2024 season natty or bust. And he did not seem all that concerned about the pressure that a statement like that would cause. And he said, diamonds are built under pressure. We're not worried about a thing. We trust in our technique, ourselves, our team, our coaches. No excuses, man. We've got to win it all. We've been trying to preach that every single day. Just, like, I love that. Just that's the approach to practice, is like, the goal is just like winning it all. And it's like, we have to, like, that's what he's going out to do. I don't know. I appreciate it.
And that's definitely a lot of pressure to put on yourself, but it's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's absolutely right. He can't go out there and be like, we're just taking it one day at a time. No, you're not. You all came back to win a national title. If you're going out there and saying anything other than it's natty or bust, you're lying, you know, like, that's the honest truth. Like, he is back to win a national title. What was the other quote? Yeah, this is the best one. The other part of coming back with all my brothers and actually winning the Big Ten in a natty for the state of Ohio. I had a first or second round grade, but I had no gold pants, no Big Ten title, and no natty. So just being able to come back with my brothers and doing it for the state of Ohio, I'm trying to finish that this year. That's the plan. Just, I love the, like, yeah, I had a first or second round grade, but no gold pants, no Big Ten title, no natty. Like, that... That's why he's back. Yeah, that's why he's back. And he always has. Like, even just the comments before the Michigan game, like, everything he says, like, it is just very – or it was after they played Indiana. And while everyone was complaining that the fans were too hard and, like, it was, you know, it was unfair criticism of the team or whatever, he went out there and straight up said, like, no, we didn't play well. We didn't dominate them. We're supposed to win those games by, like, 40, and we didn't. You know, it was embarrassing. Like, he just keeps it real. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, is that so much to ask from other players?
Yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, I think that's it's good to see someone doing that. And I understand it is probably hard in the media, to be honest with people. Like, you do open yourself up to more criticism doing that way, but God damn, it's way more fun. Like, is anyone actually going to blame him if it comes back that, like, they fell short? Like, I don't think anyone's going to look back and be like, oh, he put too much pressure on the team or something like that. I'm happy he's doing this. It seems like a great thing to me.
I think another guy who was talking good, he had some pretty great quotes, was Tyleek Williams. He said,
I like that, dude.
Talking good. He was talking good this week. Tyleek Williams, he also said, I don't want to hype our heads too much, but I look at it like it's going to be a legendary defense. We've got playmakers everywhere. The guys we brought back were all dominant. I feel like as a collective unit, we're going to be unstoppable. I appreciate that too. Like, just straight up, like, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm looking at the defense as. If you're not looking at it too, you're lying. Like, maybe he should go out there and be like, you know, we got one weak spot in Cody Simon, but we're going to figure it out. Like,
wouldn't that be great if, like, hey, yeah, we're all pretty good, but Cody, you fucking suck, dude.
We might have to address that through the transfer portal or something, but
yeah, I like more players start playing GM like the LeBron.
That'd be great. That'd be fantastic. Just
yeah
I don't know. We're pretty good everywhere, but one spot. So yeah,
but it is exciting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm pumped that those guys are thinking about it that way. They have that mindset towards it. It's what we need. Also, by the way, part of the thing around the comments around Will Howard were a clip of a throw he made that looked like a real duck, I believe, towards the end zone that was caught by one Jeremiah Smith, who's already becoming a national kind of a report in his own right. Did you see that throw by Will and the catch by Jeremiah? You
know, I did. About? Yeah, I did.
I mean, picked it off the floor. Jesus, what a play.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's
just a freak. Yeah.
He's going to start day one. Like, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Like, not a doubt in my mind. And not a doubt in, because that's the other part of this. Denzel Burke, famously, Dan Hope wrote a story at 11 Warriors this week. Before the Cotton Bowl, Denzel Burke was reluctant to really give Jeremiah Smith any praise. I'll read the first quote. He says, I got to see bro in person. All that high school stuff is cool. But when you got an elite corner lining up in your face, let me see what you can do. I heard he's a 5-star. Let's line up and we'll find out. So that was the comment before the Cotton Bowl. I appreciate it. Again, keeping it real. This is the comment after the second day of spring practice. Watch out for him. This might be a big statement, but just the way he handles himself and the way he moves and the potential he has, I feel like he might be the next best receiver to come through here. And I'm really excited to see what he can do. The sky's the limit for him. He also, I believe, called him a freak later. So just hilarious how quickly, like 2 months difference, like all it took was lining up against him twice in a spring practice to be like, oh, no, actually, like he's real good. So I just thought that was hilarious. Like the first comment was very much just like, we'll see, like we'll see what he can do. And then, okay, like, yeah, and he might be the best receiver I've ever seen. Yeah.
He really is. I think, like, I know everyone's putting so many expectations on him, but shit. I mean, I think he's worth all of them. I guess that's the thing is, like, I can't get past just how good he is. I don't know. It's nuts. I mean, like, I think he really, like, we talked about it when he was a junior in high school, when we were like first really recruiting him.
Oh yeah.
On this podcast that he was like the best prospect we've ever seen.
Yeah. I think when he first committed to Ohio State, we're like, this is cool. He's probably the best. I think you said, like, this is the best high school football player prospect I've ever seen. Like,
yes.
Like best receiver I've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. If he doesn't start, I don't know what would have to happen for him not to start. Like, it would
be
an unbelievable, like, late career Michael Thomas style leap from Jaden Ballard to keep him off the field. Like, that would be what it takes, right? Like,
yeah,
that much improvement. Like, Michael Thomas came out of nowhere in 2014, right?
Yeah,
that was
he did.
Completely unexpected. Jaden Ballard would have to do that to be able to hold off Jeremiah Smith. It's that much improvement.
Probably. Yeah.
Like, that's how much better he is than Jaden.
Even that, like, I think he's just one of those guys that's just way too talented to keep off the field. Because I think the difference with Michael Thomas is, like, who else was it going to be, man? Like, it was you know, right. it was kind of Michael Thomas, Devin Smith,
Marshall, or
yeah, right. Yeah. Like Curtis Samuel was on that team too. I think like it just wasn't going to happen.
Still both those guys,
both those guys were still playing like that H back. I guess at that point, Curtis Samuel was straight up at running back too. So yeah,
he was Zeke's backup that year.
Yeah. Hilarious. But, God, that's a different conversation, but can't believe they kept him in the running back room for like 3 years. Anyway, so that's, I don't know. That's fun. But yeah, I am very excited. There's a reason why, Jeremiah Smith was the number one overall player in the recruiting class. Like it doesn't happen by accident. He is the highest rated receiver after all of the guys that Ohio State has signed in the past. I mean, since Brian Hartline, he's the highest rated one. He's the best one. Absurd. And I thought it was really funny that like, I think it was our good friend, Dan Thixtauskas, said something along the lines like this year, like, it's hilarious. Like I don't remember exactly the context, but he made reference to like the best wide receiver prospect since Julio Jones is now going to be gone, after this year. We'll see what Ohio State does next year. That's what it was. He's like, we'll see what Ohio State's offense looks like next year after the best wide receiver prospect since Julio Jones isn't on the team. And I was like, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
So
I guess we'll just go get the best receiver prospect since Megatron instead.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we'll keep going. We'll get the next one since Jerry Rice next if you want us to.
Chris Henry's looking damn good too.
Yeah, Chris Henry looks freakish. Yeah, we're fine, dude. We're rolling.
We'll just keep doing this.
And now DeCorian Moore is going to visit too. And
yeah, Kalik that's
Lockett,
hilarious.
I think Kalik Lockett's like when they had him ranked like as a 17th receiver at one point, and I said he was the best receiver in the country. That is the kid I want so badly. Speaking of receivers, did you see that Josh Newberg clip?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Dude, that little fucking weasel. Yeah, I just think it's just on three needs clicks. Him and Chad Simmons. We're trying to frame Taz Williams, who, by the way, I know his family a little bit. He's from Aliquippa in Pittsburgh. I know his dad from like past recruiting camps. Very nice kid. Really good player. He's like a solid top 30 receiver in the country.
They're not going to Ohio State.
Ohio State versus Michigan battle. No. Like they would have to miss on
like three other guys.
Let's see here. They have Javon Boggs committed. They'd have to miss on DeCorian Moore, Kalik Lockett, Vernell Brown, Jamie French. Probably Philip Bell and like two or three other kids. That's six or seven receivers they already have to miss on before they take Taz Williams. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's not on the board really for Ohio. Like he's on the board, but he's not a take for Ohio State today.
Right.
He may well go to Michigan. He's a really good player. Like, I mean, he's awesome. He's in Texas.
He's not coming to Ohio State. Yeah.
He last visited Ohio State almost 2 years ago to the day. It hasn't been back since. Yeah. How was it in Ohio State, Michigan battle? Whatever. I don't have to get into that. Kevin, I think what we're going to do, we talked a little football. Oh, we should also have Jeremiah Smith dodge Durango before I forgot.
Oh, I thought that was funny.
Actually. Yeah. People are dunking on him because part of his NIL package was a car of his choice from Rick Reichert at Ford and the local Columbus car baron. Although I'm still personally partial to Tansky Toyota and their t-shirt cannon. His car of choice was a Dodge Durango SRT, which is a, to be fair, pretty like parent looking SUV. I'll give them that. That car also sells for $76,000.
Insane. Insane.
Which one is a testament to like the fucked up inflation we have in this country.
Yeah.
But two, that car moves, dude. It's like a, you know, killing machine. That's like a massive SUV that moves like a fucking Hellcat.
Yeah, it's shaped like a shoebox, but it moves like a Corvette. Like those things move. It's kind of the same. It's not the same level, but like the G-Wagons. I don't think people realize like
same principle.
How fast those cars are too. Like those are like,
yeah,
like they look up the specs on like how fast you can go 0 to 60 in both of those cars. And you will not be talking shit about those cars anymore. Like it will, it will outpace like most sports cars.
Yeah. The SRT engines are no joke. That's the thing's souped up. I'm not really a car guy. That's my understanding of it.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, I think it's very funny. Also, we had to stop giving teenagers these cars.
Yeah. I passed on King the other day. I rode past Devin Brown in his gigantic red whatever truck it is. And then it's like,
yeah,
well, that's a $100,000 truck. Like for sure, like not a doubt in my mind. Like those are
what is up with that, dude? I will never understand the truck.
The trucks?
I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't get it. It's a waste of, I'm sure we have, I don't know, how many truck people do we have that listen to this podcast? There's not a chance
probably
that we have
more
that.
More than you'd expect.
Really? I guess it's Ohio.
I know my buddy Luke, who you know, he's a big truck guy.
Really?
Yeah, and my friend Mark's a big truck dude.
They're just so expensive. And you get like no cab space. I don't know. I don't get it. Look, no gas mileage. Like
if you are someone who works on a farm,
yeah,
or some kind of construction, if you're hauling something, if you have shit in the bed of your truck, or you just really love tailgating, you're using it to tailgate. I think that's a ridiculous reason to purchase it, by the way, for tailgating, but maybe whatever. I can somewhat justify it.
Yeah.
If you're just a regular guy driving to work with your truck, what are you doing? That's crazy. What do you need it for?
Well, yeah, I know like the like coveted one is the Ford Raptor, the Ford F-150 Raptor, the new ones, the new 2024s are, they start at 90,000.
Why?
Well, that's my thing. It's like, you know how much cooler of a car you could get for $90,000? Like I just mentioned a G-Wagon. You could probably approach like a used G-Wagon for $90,000. What the hell?
It's just like a cultural signifier. And I guess like, if you're a rich guy who's a Republican, you want to drive one of those trucks.
You want to drive
a truck.
Rich
guy who's a liberal, you want to drive like either a Tesla or like some kind of semi-electric BMW or something.
Yeah. A Cybertruck.
Yeah. 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 Oh God. Yeah. Those are can't worse, but, one of my clients told me maybe 2 years ago he bought a Cybertruck. I think he just got it last week.
Mm.
Yeah,
I love that. Love that.
Ugh. What can you do? Well, aside from cars, I think you and I are going to talk a little basketball on the premium, as well as answer some listener questions. We're going to get into our kind of what's left in terms of checked boxes for Ohio State to get in the tournament. And then we are going to answer some listener questions for our message board. So if you guys want to come listen to that, subscribe to meetatmidfield.com and come party with us.